Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Watermark OC Church Sunday Message. Watermark is a generational community that is crazy passionate about starting a conversation about God, your relationships, and authentic love. If you're interested in getting more information, please click the link in the show notes for next steps. Thanks again for listening. It's our hope and prayer that this message would transform your life.
We are blessed to be here this morning, and just a special Watermark welcome to everybody here, gathering here, 8:30 service, also our online, guests. Gosh, we're so glad you've joined us. It's a blessing to be out this morning to worship, to gather hope, peace, and love from the place where it really comes from, right? And the Lord Jesus Christ, following his kingdom and worshiping him. And so we're excited. I'm Pastor Bucky. Extend a welcome to you, Pastor Ben, and the whole team. And there's been a group of people that got here early this morning that set this place up. And let's give them a hand for getting up so early and being here. And not only do they set up all the chairs, but they set up this technology so we can live stream. So all the guys in the back of the house, Patrick and his team, let's give them a hand too. And it's so fun to be able to stream and be right in your living rooms. We're excited everybody's here, whether you're in person or online. And next week, we're going to two services, 10:30 on the deck, 8:30 and 10:30, 8:30 and 10:30 online. And so we're just really, really excited to invite more people into our family, to invite more people to hear and see and know the goodness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So thanks for joining us again. We're excited about this season, although it's a little bit foggy out there. I was waiting for 80 degrees when I got out this morning. I put on my shorts. I came here and it's foggy. And, a little bit of that fog. Did anybody wake up in a fog this morning? Not necessarily a fog in terms of the climate. What about a sort of a fog and a funk, in terms of your soul? Anybody be in a funk this morning? I'm a little bit of in a foggy funk because it's a little cloudy out there. It's a little cloudy in terms of the COVID crisis, right? It just continues to linger on. It just doesn't seem to end, does it? And we're kind of tired. We're kind of yawning. Like, oh, I'm just done with this, right? Anybody done with it? We're done with it. And then everything we hear is really confusing. Because one side says, hey, wear your masks. Here's the science. The other side says, don't wear your mask. Here's this. I'm very confused. Which science is right and which science is wrong? I mean, are you guys confused a little bit? Has the leadership confused us a little bit? I know. I'm a leader in the church. I can confuse people. And so it just feels foggy. And then we're in the political season. And every post and every pundit and everything, every cable news spin is about one side or the other. And so it just seems really foggy, divided, frustrating, because it seems like you're hearing messages from both sides. And that's why we're excited to be here in church this morning. So we can gather under the one King and the one Lord who will tell us the truth, who came to show us the truth and the way through the fog, to give us light, hope, and faith. And we're here to worship him. And we're so glad you're here. That's why we're in this series. We're talking about faith in politics. It's a hotly debated political season. People are frustrated. People are throwing zingers left and right on the internet. People are posting. The pundits are punditing. And the polls are polling. And it's divided. And it's confusing. And it's frustrating. And we want to be clear about where Jesus stands on politics. And what the Bible speaks about this issue in our culture. Because it's an important issue that we all need to understand where Jesus stands. What the Bible says about politics and church and all these things. So we're trying to be clear about that by opening the Word of God and talking about principles from his Word. Because guess what? The reason that Ben and I are praying, the reason that Ben and I put this series together, no matter what happens in November, no matter who wins, the Democrat candidate or the Republican candidate or an independent candidate, no matter who wins, we do not want the church to lose. Guys, no matter who wins the political election, we don't want the church to lose. And when the church loses is when we're divided. When we're divided by the left and the right in the church will lose when we're divided. The church will lose when we're deceived by the spin and the lies of our culture. The church will lose. The church will lose when we're distracted. And we think the answers to the world are in the political answers of November and not in the political answers that come from the kingdom of God. The church will lose. And so we're doing this because we want the church to win. And we want our hearts to win together. We want to be one in Christ. It's so easy to fall into the spin. Let's just be this church. We can confess here Sunday morning. I want to be honest, you know, confession, right? Isn't it easy to fall into the spin? It's easy for me to fall into the spin. It's easy for me to, you know, spend about 10 minutes on a cable news, whether it's a left and right, and all of a sudden I'm hearing, you know what? If we don't vote, and if our candidate doesn't win, guess what? The world is over. Did you guys know that? If your candidate does not win, the world is over. It will end in November. That's what I hear. And all of a sudden, I start spinning, right? What about when you go to those websites, the left-right website or the right-left website? I don't care which one. And all of a sudden, you get a zinger from your favorite pundit. Oh, this proves that I'm right. I knew I was right. I knew my guy's going to win. And all of a sudden, you just put a little spin and you send that zinger out to somebody else. Hey, here's the proof that my guy is going to win. Anybody? Come on, let's be honest. Anybody pass on a little bit of morsel, you know, a little bit of gossip, a little bit of spin? I mean, I've done it before. It's so easy for us to get in the mold of our culture, and all of a sudden we're angry, right? We're going to work angry. We're looking for a fight, man. I got some info, man. I just want to take a swing at somebody because I'm mad because I don't like what's happening, right? And we're frustrated. And all of a sudden, we fall into worldly politics, and we forget about kingdom politics. And this morning, what we want to do is open the scriptures in John chapter 18 and 19 and look at the trial of Jesus. As he stands before Pilate, the Roman governor, as he's surrounded by the Jewish leadership and crowds that want to crucify him. And we're going to look at this dialogue between Jesus and Pilate and the religious leaders. And we're going to ask the question, how do we stay kingdom focused? How do we put the politics of Jesus, especially during this season, ahead of the politics of the world? If we do that, the church is going to win from now until November. If we are together today and decide, hey, we're going to put the politics of Jesus ahead of the politics of the world, guess what? No matter who wins in November, the church is going to win in November. And that's what the heart of God is all about for us. So I'm going to read you some scriptures now from John chapter 18 and 19. It's kind of a chunky section of scripture. It's this dialogue between Pilate and Jesus and the religious leaders. And then I'm going to draw some principles out about how we can keep kingdom-minded in a very hotly debated worldly political season. Here it is, John chapter 18, 33 through 38. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate retorted. John chapter 19, 4 through 12. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and other officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he became even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. John chapter 18, 14 through 16. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. Wow. What a conversation, what a dialogue. Three parties in the trial of Jesus. We have the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, that are bringing the crowds, and they want Jesus crucified on trumped-up charges that he is claiming to be a king that's a political threat to Rome. We have Pilate, who represents Rome. He's the governor, the procurator, and he's the one that's been asked to make a decision in the trial of Jesus on the outcomes of his trial. And you have Jesus right in the middle of it. And this dialogue, this is a political dialogue. Many times we read the Bible and we think it's just a spiritual thing. And a spiritual thing is, hey, what does this mean about my relationship with Jesus and whether I'm going to go to heaven or not? Right? This is not a spiritual conversation. This is a political conversation. Jesus is before Rome and this is a political trial because he's being tried because his accusers are saying he's a threat to Roman rule. Crucifixion is not a normal outcome for somebody that's just in a regular trial. Crucifixion is the worst kind of death from anybody who is treasonous towards Rome. And so this is a political trial. Crucifixion is a political statement, right? Rome is dominant. Rome will rule. This is a whole political dialogue and a political debate, just like we find the political debates on the internet today, just like we find the political debates on the news cable stations, just like we find the political debates of today. And there are principles we can draw from here if we decide that we want to, the kingdom of God and its politics, we want them to rule and reign in our life, and we do not want worldly politics to dominate our hearts and to dominate our conversations and to dominate our church. How can we stay on the side of God's kingdom? How can we ensure that we follow kingdom politics and don't fall into the trap of worldly politics? Well, the first principle I want to talk to you about through this morning is we have to know whose side we are on. Every time Ben and I come up and preach this message, this political message about the kingdom of God, we're asking you, do you know whose side you are on? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, right? It's not a worldly kingdom. It's not of this world, but guess what? Where is the kingdom now? It's not of this world, but where is the kingdom now? It's inside of you if you're a Christ follower. The kingdom of God has begun in your heart if you accepted Jesus Christ. If he is the Lord and Savior of life, the kingdom of God is ruling and reigning in your heart, right? The kingdom of God is not of this world, but it is in this world because it is in your heart and it is over this world. Right? And one day it will invade this world when the king returns. The transformation has begun like a seed in the ground, and the gospel is sprouted, and the kingdom has begun. It's growing in the hearts and minds of those that follow Jesus Christ. One day Jesus will return. Our citizenship, the Apostle Paul says, is in heaven. We are heavenly citizens if we are followers of Jesus, and we await our King and Savior who will come and transform our bodies, our lowly, broken, sinful bodies, into one that's like his. This is the gospel, and it demands and it calls for us to know whose side are we on. If we are on the side of King Jesus, guess what? His politics, his agenda, his mandate needs to be primary and center in our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, what is our task? To seek the kingdom first. to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That means the kingdom of God, kingdom politics, have to be priority in our life over worldly politics. Jesus says we need to pray kingdom prayers. How did as his disciples, as heavenly citizens, what are we to pray for? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's a kingdom prayer. Regardless of whether the Democratic candidate wins or the Republican candidate or another candidate, we are to pray that God's kingdom would come and his will be done on earth today. We are to pursue kingdom living. What does kingdom living look like? Paul in Romans 14, the capital of the world, right? Where Caesar's palace was, Paul said, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, right? No matter what our political persuasion or which party we think is best representing, the kingdom of God is way bigger than one political party, and it's in our hearts. And how do we live kingdom politics? By pursuing righteousness, justice, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, submitted to the King and his kingdom agenda. The political leaders of Rome, Pilate, and others, the political leaders of the Jewish Sanhedrin and the leadership calendar, they're not involved in kingdom politics. Their politics are worldly politics. They're about their own political platform and their agenda and getting it done in the world. That's what politics is about, to convince you that my platform is best for the nation and we want to get it done. And guess what? Pilate thinks Roman domination, Roman rule, Roman taxation, Roman military might, Roman roads is best for the world, and he's going to ensure that Rome rules. That's why he has the power to crucify. He's all about Rome. He's about his political power rising in Roman politics. That's his agenda, and he's willing to play worldly politics to get his agenda done. The Jewish leaders are all about Jewish nationalism. They want to make Israel great again. They got MAGA hats on. Make Israel great again. And they think they can make Israel great again with a political messiah, military strength, and they can overthrow Rome and put their guy in power. And so that's what they're all about. They're not about the world. They're not all about peace and justice in the world. They're about making Israel great again and throwing off the oppression of Rome. And so they're all playing worldly politics, and right in the middle of it is a kingdom football that is being bounced back and forth. Jesus Christ, the true King, who says, my kingdom is not of this world. But because their worldly politics are more important to them, they are blinded to the message and the truth of Jesus. And they're willing to crucify the Son of God. When we play worldly politics, when we follow the spin, when we push the gossip forward, when we push our candidate above another candidate in an unhealthy way, nothing wrong with having a political point of view, nothing wrong with believing that your party, but when we do this and we play worldly politics, guess what? We crucify the agenda of the Son of God. We can crucify the agenda of the Son of God by playing worldly politics. And that's not the way Jesus calls us to be. What needs to die from now until November? What needs to truly die? Not your opponent. Not necessarily the agenda of the other party. You know? What needs to die is you, your political self-will. This is what Paul said. And Paul was a Pharisee. Paul understood politics. He was a Jew of Jews. And his political identity as a Jew had to die for him to live for the kingdom of God and to go to the Gentile world. And this is what he said. I have been crucified. My political self-will, my agenda, what I think is best all the time, it needs to die. Because what's best? It's what Jesus wants. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. If you are a Christian, Christ lives in you. Your political self-will was nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. Kingdom politics needs to die. but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We need to crucify our political self-will. Have you done that? Have you come to the altar and said, Jesus, regardless of who wins, I want you to win in my life? I want you to be glorified. I want you to be King and Lord. We need to realize, we need to choose whose side we're on in this political season. The second thing we need to do is we need to stand up for the truth no matter what. We need to stand up for the truth no matter what. Jesus said, you say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born into this world is to testify to the truth. Jesus' kingdom is about testifying to the truth, no matter where that truth leads us. It's about the truth of who he is, what he came to do, the truth about who you are, and the truth about how the world and reality really works. That's the kingdom of God. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Everyone on the side of truth. Kingdom politics is about testifying to the truth about who Jesus is, what real reality is, what real righteous and justice and mercy is, regardless of what party puts that truth up there. If a Democrat puts truth up there, you need to testify that is truth and that is real. If a Republican puts truth up, you need to testify to that truth. No matter what, we need to be about truth and righteousness and justice. Worldly politics, it's about the spin, right? What is truth, right? It's whatever I want to make it, whatever the spin, whatever my facts, whatever my science says, whatever my facts says, as long as it gets my agenda done, that's worldly politics, right? We see Pilate's dialogue with the religious leaders that I just read to you. That's all about the spin. Why is Pilate even questioning Jesus? You're the king of the Jews. Is this a spiritual? Is he interested in becoming a Christian? Is Pilate interested in Jesus? No, 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 no. He doesn't care about that. He's interested in finding out whether Jesus is a threat to Rome or not. You're a king. How big's your army? Where's your following? Well, where's your platform? He's questioning because he's assessing his threat towards Roman rule and authority. That's what this conversation is about. And Jesus is in front of them because the party of the religious leaders of the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, they have spun Jesus' teaching to say his teaching on the kingdom of God is a threat to Rome. They've spun his teaching. He wants to destroy the temple. They've spun his teaching. He doesn't want to honor. They've spun his teaching. They've taken it and they've made him a threat to Rome. And that's why he's in front of this council. That's why he's on trial. And the truth of the matter is, if Pilate even cared about it, if he did a real investigation and he listened to Jesus' teaching and he looked at his disciples, he would see people that are praying for their enemies. He would see unity. He would see sacrificial love. He would see mercy. He would see truth and righteousness. He would say, these are probably the best citizens that I've ever seen because these people are about servant love. That's the truth of the matter, right? But he doesn't really care about truth and he's listening to the spin because he just cares about politics. And so the religious leaders are threatened by Jesus' popularity. They're threatened by his platform. And so they've taken his truth and they've spun it. And they've made him an enemy, and they're pushing their agenda all to the point to crucify Jesus and destroy his leadership in Israel and his threat to their political campaign. They are playing spin politics. What about us? What about followers of Jesus? Are we willing to spin the truth a little bit to get our agenda done? Are we willing to shade the truth? Are we willing to manipulate the truth? Are we willing to post things that we don't even know are facts or not just to get our political done and to win an argument online or win an argument in the coffee shop and prove that we're right? It sort of goes like this. Here's my candidate. Isn't he awesome? He's the best and the brightest of all. He's the savior of the United States. He's even a Christian. He claims to know God. Man, he's the best thing for our country. He's awesome. He always does what's right. Look at his platform. And there's the other candidate. He is Satan. He's the scum of the earth. He does nothing right. If he wins, we're going down the tube and everything's gone. He's the worst of the worst. Do you see the political spin? And that's in our culture. Is this kind of a caricature, political caricature? Is this the kingdom of God, I ask you? Is this the way that Jesus would do politics? Is this how we're supposed to do it in our land? This is a very destructive thing, not only to our culture, but also to the church. Here's a recent survey done by Pew about politics in America since the 90s and all the stuff that's happened with our news, cable news, with our spin, with our Instagram, with all our social media. What has it done to the nation? It's just made us more angry. It's made us more threatened by the other side. It's made us more divided. Recent survey done by Pew Research showed that the shares of Republicans and Democrats who express very unfavorable opinions, the percentages of Republicans and Democrats who express very unfavorable opinions of the opposing party have increased dramatically since the 90s. The polls in the 90s would say about 20% of Republicans and about 20% of Democrats would have a negative view of the opposite party. 20% would have a disfavorable negative view of the other party. Now it's about 45 to 50%. What's risen? Has our righteousness risen in America? Has our justice risen in America? Has our love? No, our hatred for one another as exposed by our political opinions and views. We have more hatred, more disunity, and you see it every day. Where is the church just as divided many times? When we should be the ones that are unifying and proclaiming the love of Jesus. It makes my heart so sad. And I'm a leader. I'm talking to myself and not just you. Here's the kingdom agenda of Jesus with regard to our political platform, as written by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4. Therefore, each one of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. We are all members of one body. Do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Build others up, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander. Is that our social network these days in the media? Get rid of that along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. That's the politics of Jesus. That's kingdom politics. We need to stand on the side of the truth. We need to speak the truth. We need to live the truth in order to build each other up, in order to encourage each other, not to win for our political party or agenda. If we want to have kingdom politics win and be on the side of that versus worldly politics, we have to use our power to love. We have to use our power to love rather than to win. You see, worldly politics relies on power, manipulation, and control to advance its agenda. Right? We see Pilate, right? Very political. He's caught between a rock and a hard place. Actually, Pilate believes that Jesus is innocent. If he really wants to get true with truth, he believes Jesus is innocent. But he's got a problem. He's got an angry Jewish crowd, and he's the governor sent there to keep peace and continue to tax the people. If there's an uprising, if things go bad, it's going to look bad for his political future. It's going to be a mark on his record. He's not going to look so good to the audience. And so during this trial, you see him go back and forth from the crowds to Jesus. And he's putting the temperature, the thermometer back and forth, trying to make a way through so he can be okay and continue his political agenda before Rome. Right? And he's caught. The Jewish leaders know it. They won't let him out. Right? And so he's caught between his own conscience, which he knows what is true, and the crowd, his political future. And if you're in worldly politics, when your conscience is caught between the crowd, doing what's right versus what is popular, who wins? Who wins? The crowd wins, right? Right? The polls win, right? My future wins. And so Pilate is willing to compromise. He's willing to compromise. You remember the movie Shrek? You remember Shrek? One of my favorite movies. Give me a hand if you're a Shrekker. Come on, let's go. It's a good movie. There's a lot of politics in that movie. You know, Farquhar, he should run for president. Right? He's a great king. Well, do you remember when Princess Fiona was captured by the dragon and she's off and Farquhar is, you know, expressing his love and, you know, he's not so fond of his power and his strength in terms of fighting the dragon. No, that's for other people. And so he's going to give this inspirational speech to all the knights and inspire them to go out with bravery. And this is what he says. Brave knights, you are the best and brightest of all the land. Today, one of you shall prove yourself. That champion shall have the the privilege to go forth and rescue the lovely Princess Fiona from a fiery dragon. If for any reason the winner is unsuccessful, the first runner-up will take his place. Don't you love that? That sounds great. And also and so forth and so on. Some of you may die, but it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. There's worldly politics, right? Right? We're willing to let others die, right? We're willing to sacrifice reputation and friendship and even the unity of the church, even the agenda of the Son of God in order to get our agenda done. Are you willing to say, Jesus, I want to die to using my power and control to manipulate and get my agenda? I want your agenda, and that is to love more than it is to win. When push comes to shove, if I'm in an argument, it's to love versus winning. When push comes to shove, when I'm in front of somebody that believes differently, it's to love versus win. That's the agenda of King Jesus. And that's how we play the game for the kingdom of God. During this political season, are we willing to put kingdom politics ahead of worldly politics? Raise your hand if you're going to do that with me. Are you willing to put kingdom politics ahead of worldly politics? Because then if you do, you'll know whose side you're on. I'm on the side of King Jesus. I'm following his agenda, and that's about praying. That's about living the kingdom of God now. We will stand on the side of truth. I'm not going to spin it. I'm not going to manipulate the truth. I'm not going to spin lies just so I can win or spin false truths. You know what a half-truth is? A half-truth is a full lie. That's a half-truth is a full lie. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to speak the truth, and I'm going to use my power to love and serve others, even those on the other side of the aisle, even those that are different than me, even other those that believe a different opinion than I do. You know, a lot of you will say, Bucky, you know, this is a great sermon. Just stay in your lane, buddy. This sermon is great for Sunday morning. This is going to be wonderful. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to live in the world, because you don't live in the world, real world, Bucky, because the real world is about politics. And politics is the only way to get things done. And guess what, Bucky? Politics are dirty. And guess what? If you want to get things done, you got to be willing to get dirty. That's what a lot of Christians say. You know that? I've had conversations and say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to vote for the lesser of two evils. And if he's a little dirty, we'll just get a little dirty with him. He's going to win. Whenever, ever did Jesus call out dirty okay? Jesus says there's no such thing as the lesser of two evils. There's only evil and good, and we need to speak towards evil, even if it's our own candidate. Right? Even if it's my own political party that has evil, we need to call out evil where evil exists. That's what God said. What was Jesus' prayer before he died with his disciples? What was his prayer? Was it about political parties? Was it about making sure the military was strong for the church? Was it about taxation? The Roman taxation was too burdening. Was it about getting a better Caesar on the throne? Was it about a politics, or what did he pray for? And he even prayed for us in John 17. What did he pray for? He prayed for the unity of the church. That's what his prayer. John 17, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us, guys. And what did Jesus pray? That all of them would be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, that the world may know that you sent me. Wow. If we play kingdom politics and we are united at the end of November and the world looks at the church and it doesn't see an ugly bride, it sees a loving, truthful, humble bride, guess what? The world is going to see that Jesus is the king. That's our testimony. That's our witness. It's our unity. And Jesus says, the world will know that you sent me and I love them even as I love you. When the world sees their unity, that's what we should be praying for. That's what we should be living. The truth, unified in the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Unified in love, Lord. Filled with the same love that you have for me. The church will be unstoppable. You know what stops us? Taxes can't stop the church. Governments can't stop the church. The virus can't stop the church. You know, a bad political decision cannot stop the church. What can stop the church? Disunity and lack of love. That's what stops the church. And in November, if we are disunified by our politics and our platforms, Satan's going to win. And worldly politics will have won the day. And I don't want that to happen. I know you don't want that to happen. So as the band comes up and we close our time here this morning, I'm going to ask you to pray for me, for the oneness of the church, just like Jesus prayed. Lord, whatever happens in this political season, may we be one. Right? May we be unified. What's our message? What's our political platform? Jesus is Lord. He's a crucified Lord. He's died and risen from the dead. What's our unified mission? It's to go and make disciples. What's our unified mandate? It's to love God and love people. Let's pray that the church will be one. Let's ask God, how can I participate in that oneness? What does it mean for you to fight for the unity of the church with your words, with your truth, with your love? What would it look like for you to help the church win in November, to be about the kingdom of God versus the politics of this world? Yes, pray. Yes, vote. Yes, have wisdom. Those are all good things. But the most important thing that Jesus prayed for was our unity, our truth, and our love. Would you bow your heads with me this morning as we prepare for worship here? Would you open your hearts to King Jesus and just quiet it down? And would you just ask the Lord for unity? First of all, just unity in your heart. Where are you divided? Where are you struggling with anger versus peace? Where is there pride versus love? Where is there fear versus faith? A divided church comes from a divided heart. Where are you divided? Ask the Lord to make your heart one with Him. Ask Him to fill you with His love, with His peace, with His joy. Thank you, King Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Spirit, we open our hearts. We ask that you would fill us this morning with the kingdom of God, with your peace, with your joy, with your righteousness, with your wisdom and your justice. And Father, we pray this morning for the church. Lord, just as you prayed, that we would be one. You've given us your glory through the Holy Spirit. Make us one, just as you and the Father are one. Fill us with the same love that you have for the Father and the Father has for you. Fill the church with that love. I pray that Democrats and Republicans and independents, whatever political persuasion, that we can put that in the right place and seek your kingdom first. Love one another. Speak the truth in love. Be mature. Lord, make the church one so that at the end of this season, the church shines bright with your glory and your grace, that people will see the church not politically divided, not an ugly bride, but a beautiful bride, reflecting your love, Jesus. And people will be drawn to you. King Jesus, you are beautiful. Make your church beautiful today as we surrender our own agendas and we trust in you. Give us your politics. Give us your grace. Give us your love. We praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship the King. Let's thank Him for His goodness. Let's thank Him for all the great things He's done for us. We've already won because of Jesus Christ. Let's live that truth out every day.
We hope that this message has challenged and encouraged you. If you need prayer, would like to join a small group community, or are interested in partnering with our work throughout Costa Mesa and Orange County, please go to watermarkoc.com. We would love to start a conversation.